Father, you were more than enough on the day where just a few loaves and a few fish showed up, and you were more than enough. Oh, God. Father, you were more than enough when all of Israel was surrounded by their enemies. You were more than enough. And so, Father, today we declare that you are more than enough for what we need, Father. But, oh, how we need you, Lord. How we need you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you know, you see, and you provide. Thank you, Father, for exchanging with us, that you take our sin and you give us your righteousness, that you can take our sickness, you can take our pain, our hurts, and we can trade them in, Father. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. We thank you today for your goodness and your help and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Anybody have a testimony today that you'd like to share? What has God done? Shelby.
So, oh, wow, that's loud. Anyways, God, what? Oh. You have a child. It's fine. I can just hold it farther away. Okay, thanks. So time after time, God has continually, through people, provided for Levi. We went and visited family who we love, and they're spirit-filled. They live in Pennsylvania. They own a campground. They're wonderful people. And we went to breakfast with them because we wanted to bless them, and they ended up blessing us because they looked at us and they said, hey, we feel called to get you what you need for Levi in this new season. And the only things we needed were, like, you know, a larger bathtub to step up and a car seat. However, the car seat that we need, his, you know, final car seat, was like $400. And without blinking, they were like, yeah, okay. So again and again, God provides and provides and provides. He is probably the most loved and well-cared for baby because of the people in his life and the people that God has put around us and God's provision. So always trust in God's provision, even when you don't necessarily need it. He values his children and loves you.
Amen. Check this guy out. Last week, this guy hobbled in with a cane.
I don't need it.
Oh, you don't need it? Well, no, yeah, but some people do have trouble hearing. Really.
Can anybody hear me?
Well, they said sort of.
Oh, Pat, stop it.
No, you just become all things to all men.
First, I'd like to thank God just for who wasn't here last week. I've had back issues for quite a while, and I came here last week after church. I said, I'm going to go to the altar. It wasn't my first time going to the altar in this beautiful church. Pray for me. And somewhere through that prayer, I felt like this tingling, and I felt like this power. And I heard somebody laughing. And one, you know, I guess it was the human part of me thought it was like weird. What are they laughing about? This is serious business. My mind tells me, but the glory of God started me laughing. And then I did this. Hadn't done this in over a year. Did this. And when I share it, you know, fluke. It'll go away. You'll be back to being what you were. Nope. 1 week, and I'm still. So continue to pray for me, because I went to see the surgeon on Friday, Dr. Winsell, through the UR group. Saw me in Dansville, and that was awesome. I didn't have to drive to Rochester for the umpteenth time, and he looked at me walking in, and I didn't have a cane. What's your pain level? Oh, about one, maybe two. And he says, well, we're not going to talk about your lower back. He said, we got some other issues. Because he had sent me through some more, I call it hoop jumping. I had to go take another MRI. I had to go see an orthopedic surgeon. I had to go get nerve induction because he saw something that he didn't like. So he told me, he said, Carl, you have stenosis in your cervical spine. And we kind of want to do surgery. We want to put a cage around your spinal cord, which will remain. They want to take bone marrow out of my hip and shoot it into the places where there should be disc. And I said, okay, not thinking, God just healed me down here. And I almost said okay, and I did, actually I did say okay. I cried because I was overwhelmed. But anyway, coming in here, I'm just going to wait on the Lord, and I'm not going to tell this guy no, because they're going through this worldly stuff with people not wanting to take the vaccine. And he said, Carl, we already lost two of the people that helped me in surgery because they refused to have the vaccine. So it was either get fired or quit, and they quit. And he said, it looks like they're going to lose more and more. So that's world stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I am going to continue going with this prayer. I'm not going to bother with him. Let him schedule, because who knows what will happen. But I think I'm going to wait on the Lord, because he's blessed me. I'm walking. I don't have a cane. And so I don't want to take up any more. Thank you guys for praying for me. I love my church. I love my God. I got a home. I haven't felt. Thank you, God.
Amen. We're believing for a complete work. A complete work. Glory to God. If you could have seen this guy walk in last week. You were almost dragging one foot. And then when he skipped out, God is going to do the whole. I think God's going to give you the whole package. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody else? Oh, wonderful testimonies today. Praise God. Praise God. All right, some announcements today before we go on. Monday, men's Bible study, 6 to 8 p.m. We're studying the book of Romans. We had a great study last week. And if you haven't really studied the book of Romans verse by verse, it's just been a blessing. It's been very good. Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Come and rejoice with us. We have some time for worship and praise, and then we get into prayer. And if you didn't know, that's where the battles happen when we pray, when we seek God. We still have some homes left for Saturate America in our area for the DVD distribution. If you can help and you want to help give out a few more, we're getting close to the end, but we still have some to distribute. So stop by the table after service and pick up a street to reach for Jesus. And if you already have, maybe you've got time, you can do a little bit more. We're closing in on the end. Operation Christmas Child is coming. Merry Christmas. Christmas in August. It doesn't feel like Christmas. But Shay reminded me, and you'll see in your bulletin, this is when back-to-school sales are happening. And it's a great time to buy some of the stuff you would put in your box. And then maybe you'll save so much money you could do two boxes, right? Oh, it's the perfect time to begin planning your box. So while the sales are on, go after that. In your bulletin, there's an insert again, and probably you've seen it, but the Walk for Life, it's supporting our local pro-life organization called Bright Alternatives Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Wellsville. It's kind of a walkathon style fundraiser, and if you're interested in that, the information is there, and the walk is coming up on September 11th in Hamlin Lake in Smethport, and Lord willing, it'll be a good day and bring in some needed finances to support Bright Alternatives. We're having a fellowship today, yay, immediately after the service, and so we'll just need a little bit of help setting up some tables at the end. and then we're going to eat beef on weck and whatever else we brought. Whatever else, we're having a real potluck today. We are so excited. It was such a joy to see that Irv and Ruth Schwant are here with us. And I know that Devin and Shay are going to be really sad to miss you on this time around. They're on vacation. But thank you so much for coming, and we want to invite you up and have you come and share with us. Welcome. On the wireless that will help. It's right there.
I am?
There you go.
Ooh. Whoa, I've got power. Does this detonate if I go overtime? Hasn't? Is it set on automatic to blow me up if I tell a joke?
It'll give you a warning first. Like,
oh, I feel it. Oh, okay. So good to... Oh, am I indecent? Excuse me. We wear masks in Kenya all the time in public because it's the law. And we can be fined. We have to even wear it in the car, even if you're driving by yourself. You never know what's floating around in these cars. But yeah, so we are also going back to Kenya on the 12th of September, and we want a COVID test that's negative before we fly, otherwise we can't. And we don't want to take any special gifts back to our children that they would regret, we would regret. So we're just trying to be cautious. Some people think I'm formal by wearing a jacket, like my wife. She says, don't be so formal. Thank you. I actually am cool. I wear it because it hides a multitude of sins. And I'm very sensitive about my sins. But, like I said, we're glad to... She's giving me that look that says, shut up and get on with it. Dear. 48 years, and I haven't quite learned to read her thoughts, but I can read her eyes. Anyway, we're glad to be back with you. We have brought a young man from Kenya to the States. He has a full scholarship at Elam. And that was amazing because he applied last year, and he was told they only give out 3 full scholarships, and he was number 4 on the list. But they said, well, you never know. Someone might drop out, and you are first to be called. So June this year, he got an email from Elam saying, one's dropped out, you're next in line. So there was a mad rush to get things done. Thankfully, he had his passport already, but then he had to book for at the U.S. Embassy for a visa. And the only open date was March 2022, which was, you know, well into the second term of Elam if he chose to do that. So he wrote, asked for an exemption. They declined it. You can only do it once. Next thing he knows, he got an email from the embassy saying, show up next week on Tuesday, 13th of July. Show up on 13th of July. It's really. And the next thing was even, I think, more miraculous. He went to the interview. He was there 5 minutes and came out with a 5-year student visa. I'm not sure whether he took me seriously when I said, we're taking you to the States, don't come back. But 5 years, that's miraculous. And we got all our tickets. We got all our tests for him and for my wife and I. And we got on that plane. Direct flight, Nairobi, JFK, because we didn't want to stop in Europe where all that disease is. And, you run a chance of getting infected. So we thought, okay, direct flight, 14 hours with a mask on. We had to wear a mask. 14 hours that we got to JFK, rented a car, and the reason for that was an airplane ticket from JFK to Rochester was $400 by three, and a rental car was $400. So we rented one way to Rochester, drove another 6-7 hours. It was a long, long day. But anyway, we got here safe, and Alex is at Elam. I wanted to bring him today, but he has meetings in the afternoon, and I could not guarantee I could be back by 3 o'clock, especially because if I go overtime, the lunch might become supper. But let me introduce my wife so that she can bring some sense to our presence. Ruth. And I want you to know the other week for 3 days I was ruthless. She was in hospital for 3 days. Now it's up to you to explain that one.
It's good to be here with you this morning. It's always good to come to Wellsville, and we appreciate each one of you. We appreciate what you do for a Hammer home. I ask you to forgive my husband for his bad jokes. You all know him by now, and he can't get up without telling bad jokes. The kids at Rahama just say, "Oh, uncle," and walk out on him. It's been a tough 2 years, 18 months since COVID hit. Last year, the schools were closed in Kenya for 9 months. The kids were not allowed out of the compound for 9 months. You try being locked up with 65 kids for 9 months. It's not fun, believe me. But we managed to keep everybody healthy, and everybody went back to school this January. But they need a lot of prayer, because the government decided they would do 3 years of schooling in 2 calendar years. So it's a really tough schedule. They went back to school in January to do the 2020 school year. They finished on the 17th of July. They went back on the 26th of July to start the 2021 school year, which they will finish in March. They will then go back and do the 2022 school year and finish in November and be back on track. So it's a very tough 2 years for kids and teachers alike, and we ask you that you pray for them. We have 60 kids living on site right now, ranging in age from just under a month. Well, he's probably 2 weeks by now, because he came just the week after we left, and up to 22 years old. Those, the ones that are of older age group, we're gradually kicking them out. Some are slower than others. If this hadn't come up, I think Alex would have been with us till he was about 50, because he kept saying, "I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving. You'll have to kick me out." But this opportunity for him to come and study and to learn God's word came up, and we're thankful that he has a heart that is willing to serve the Lord. He's been on the worship team for about 2 years at our church in Nairobi, and he's a blessing to us and to those he comes into contact with. But we have about 20 now that are living outside of Rahama. Some are working, some we're still paying rent for. All of them have been to some sort of education level. You know, in Kenya, the opportunities are there if you work at it. Unfortunately, some of them don't get the message till they're already in college and it's too late. But there are three levels of higher education in Kenya. There is what they call a certificate, a diploma, and then your degree. And depending on the level of your education, not the level of your education, but what you get in high school, you can enter one of those programs. Huh? In high school, you can explain yourself because I don't understand. It's what you get in high school determines where you go on to college. So some of our kids are doing certificate courses, some are doing diploma courses, and one or two of them have made it straight into doing degree programs. This doesn't mean to say you can't eventually do a degree, but you have to start at a lower level and work yourself up. Takes more time, takes more money. But we thank the Lord that all of them have chosen some field of study. We thank the Lord that most of them, and I say most of them, love the Lord. You know, more and more, the older I get, realize you can input, but only God can change your heart. And I hold on to the scripture, train up a child, the scripture in Proverbs, because it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, will they not depart from it. And I've said to the Lord many times, how old is old? Because we want to see a change before they leave Rahama, and definitely after they get out there. But sometimes they have to wander their own way before they come back to the Lord. We have one young man who, in 4 years, he went to four different high schools. He was rebellious. He kept running away from school. 3 times he was picked up by and seen by different people, and I said to him one day, don't you think God has a message in this? Because every time you try and run away, somebody sees you and tells us where you are, and we bring you back, and we change schools, and we do it again. But he went his own way. He went to college. He and his friend, eventually they got kicked out of the apartment they were living in by the landlord because they were having too many wild parties. Eventually we just said, enough's enough. We're not paying your rent anymore. We're not paying school fees anymore. You're on your own. By this time, he's 20. And for 6 months, he carried his mattress around from place to place, begging the other Rahama kids, begging his friends if he could stay the night. Sometimes he said sleeping under a bridge. But he was basically on the street for 6 months. And then a few months ago, he came to us. Oh, and he was also writing to his sponsor, giving all kinds of stories which were not true. But about 5 months ago, he came to us and he said, I'm really in a bad shape. He said, I have decided I need to change.
Yes.
And so he's done a total turnaround. He's back in school. He's doing a course in tourism. We rented a small place for him. And we said, you need to also get a job. Now, jobs are not easy to come by. It drives me crazy as I'm driving down the road here and I see hiring, 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 hiring everywhere. And in Kenya, nobody's hiring because the jobs are all full. And some of our kids have been trying to get work for for months. But he said, I'm going to get a job. I don't care what it is, I'm going to get a job. Now in Kenya, you can work on construction sites as day laborers. So you go, you stand at the gate in the morning, they'll hire as many people as they want for the day. Not easy work. His first job was carrying huge big cement blocks up 3-4 floors. But it was a job and he did it. And we look at him and we see the total change. He's back in church. He's done a total turnaround and we thank the Lord for that. You know, it's very hard. And those of you that have raised teenagers, you can look at your own kids and one's gone this way and one's gone this way. Totally different. And that's the way it is at Rahema. We still have small ones coming up. We got a three-day-old baby the week after we left. Our co-workers wrote to me and said, do we take him? And I said, yes. He's being called Nehemiah. We also have a three-month-old who is Isaiah. And we trust the Lord that they will grow to love and serve the Lord. You know, God is faithful. It's not been an easy 18 months. It's not been an easy time. But as I was reading, oh, I need glasses. It's called old age. Psalm 139, verse 12. And I was reading this verse just not long ago. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. We look around, we see the darkness around us, and boy, is it dark out there right now. So much going on, but God, nothing is hidden from him. He's still in control. He's always faithful. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life or my life or around us in the world, God is God. And I thank God this morning for his faithfulness to us. He's good, he's a great God, and we thank him for everything that he does. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for being with us in your prayers and your thoughts. We know that many miles separate us, but God is with us both, and he can bring the miles together because nothing is too difficult for him. So continue loving God, continue praying for us and the children at Rahema, and welcome to come back for another mission trip.
Oh, am I on Kenya time or U.S. time? So if I'm in Kenya time, I have another 8 hours. Not quite. Okay. Now, let me just share with you some thoughts. I really don't need to because during the worship service, you covered all the bases I was going to talk about. And, you know, it's wonderful how God does that, brings things together. And when Pastor said the other couple weren't able to come, would I consider speaking? I wasn't prepared, but I said yes. And I felt God say two words to me. And I felt the words he wanted me to share with you are, follow me. Follow me. See, when Jesus called his disciples, he used two words. Follow me. And they did. I'm sure they didn't know what they were getting into at the time. They didn't know him. They heard of him. But they followed someone who was virtually new to them, a stranger. And He made no outlandish promises of wealth, possessions, positions, or even security. So many pastors do that these days. Come to Jesus and he'll answer all your needs. Come to Jesus and you'll get a new job. You'll get a new car. Well, to me, that is responding to someone because you want something. And Jesus simply said to his disciples, follow me, but he didn't promise all these other things. And very often, he followed up on those two words with some additional words, strange words. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Whoa, really? What kind of net do I need? What hook works best? You know, they would try to reason it out, I'm sure. If we were them, I'm sure we would. We would have lots of questions. I will make you fishers of men. Something totally outside of their concept of their work. Follow me and serve me, or be my servant. Really, I'm free. I'm not a servant. Why would I put myself into servitude when I'm free? Follow me and don't worry. Yeah, right. We're under these Romans and, you know, they carry some swords and spears. If I do or say the wrong thing, I might be on the end of the point. Don't worry. But Jesus was in reference to someone else. He's basically saying it's not your business. Don't worry about something that's not your business. Worry about something that's given to you to do. Follow me and I will make you perfect. Oh, yeah. Okay, I can do that. But our levels and understanding of perfection are so much lower than God's level and understanding of perfection. Follow me and deny yourself and take up my cross. Ouch. If it's your cross, you carry it. Why should I carry your cross? Because his cross becomes your cross. They didn't understand it at that time. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Oh, wow. That's a kind of spooky now, isn't it? I'm going to see a ghost bury my family member? No, that's not what he meant at all. He had another meaning, but they could not comprehend it at that point. So these were strange statements that he made. And what really does it mean? Well, let me just put it very simply to you. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on yourself. Follow me. And if you want to follow me, you have to focus on me, because if I go to the left, I go to the left, go to the right, I will follow you. Yeah, and I was dancing with two left feet. That's the best I can do. So we have to focus on him if we're going to follow, because if we get diverted in our vision, we'll lose where he's going. We'll miss the path. He does not mean we can't have questions. How many times do we read in the scriptures the disciples had questions during their walk with God, during the 3 years they were with him, 3.5 years? It doesn't mean you can't have questions. We can have questions, but they might not be answered the way we like. It does mean, though, we're to follow him in faith and trust. Faith and trust. Why? If we're going to follow him, you don't know where he's going. And you have to have faith in Him that He is going to lead you in right paths. You've got to trust Him that He's not going to lead you into the arms of the enemy. We need to walk with Him with faith and trust. Now, when someone says, follow me, it brings a lot of questions to our minds. You know, one of the questions is, why? Why would I follow you? I don't know you. Another question is, and what's your agenda? Everybody has an agenda, or so we think. Another question, and where are you going? If I'm to follow you, I want to know the end result. Where are you going? Another question, how do I get there? You know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Isn't that the same? But Jesus knows where you're going. And it's not any road. It's specific. The road of righteousness. We want answers. Even before we commit to a person or to a cause. We're wired this way. We want answers. But let's understand, His ways are not our ways. Yes, He is the Son of Man. Yes, He is the Son of God. But His ways are not our ways. We like to plan. We like to map out our lives. And we call this purpose and security. Right? We want a purpose to our life, but we also want to be secure. And being secure, we put hedges around ourselves so we don't get invaded, we don't get hurt. Nobody bothers us. So we call our plans purpose and security. But let's understand, these plans have a way of failing. They have a way of falling apart. And you cannot control it. He answers our questions when we walk with Him. Our life and our purpose become clearer the further we walk with Him. You know, as an early Christian, do you really know how you're going to end up in the Christian faith? When I was 8 years old, I knew I was going to be on the mission field. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? 8 years old. I had no idea how to get there. I had no idea what I would do when I get there. I had no idea the purpose and plan for my life at a later stage. And here comes the scripture, step by step as you go. The way shall open before you. Another scripture. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. I can see my feet and I can see one step. And that's all I can see. His word is a lamp unto my feet. But as we walk with Him and trust in Him and have faith, that light becomes a light beam. A lamp unto our path. All right? The light is designed for us to walk step by step to teach us faith and trust. When we learn faith and trust, then the beam of His light comes up and shows us more of the path. Not the entire path, but as we learn more, it comes up, and then the high beam comes on. Woohoo! Now I can put my foot to the pedal. Not really. All right. He answers our questions as we walk with Him. His plans are always with an eternal purpose and security. You know that? You want purpose and security for your life? Follow Him. His plans are always secure. His plans are always with a purpose. Someone once told me, another Christian fellow, I will follow God anywhere as long as it's not outside of my comfort zone. Now, here's the pinch. You didn't say that, right? You didn't say those words. He did. He was brave enough to say it. Problem is, we think it. We feel it. Oh, no, God, I can't go there. I've never done that before. I'm not comfortable. Well, we're bulking at the comfort zone limits, right? And each one of us do this. We don't like to go beyond our comfort zones. Well, let me tell you something. God's leadings, following God, will always be outside of our comfort zone.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. If you want to follow Him, you will be taken outside of your comfort zone. That's called a stretching experience. That's called learning His ways, doing His will. You see, we have physical bodies, right? Anyone here not have a physical body? All right, if you don't have a physical body, walk through that wall. Then we'll see. If you fall on the floor, then we know you're in a physical body. We all have physical bodies. We're living in a physical world. Our world is rational. It's within the scope of our thinking. Now, compare this to Jesus. He's divine. He's divine. Living in a glorified body, He can walk through the walls. Okay? He can rise up off the ground. He can walk on the water. He's living in a spiritual, glorified body, in a heavenly world. There's a difference there, right? Automatically, there's a difference. We're physical, earthly. He's spiritual, glorified. All right? Another thing. We want to be rational. Think things out. Think things through. Although there's some of us that like to be emotional. But, you know, it's still on the physical level. But He is beyond rationale. There's a difference. We like to control things. You can always tell the control freak. They're holding the TV controls. No, it's mine. We like to control things, but following Jesus puts us outside of our control, and that's what we're afraid of. We have a sheltered, protected environment that we have built around ourselves. And we look at Jesus and follow Him. He exposes us to the world. Yet He protects us by the hand of God. All right, let me give you a scripture. You all know this one. It's John 14, verse 6.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
You all know that verse, right? Now, I'm going to attempt to put the callings of Jesus of the disciples saying, follow me, into those three categories. I might fail, but, you know, I'm trying. Okay? We follow Him because He knows the way. Have you been to heaven before?
No.
Huh? He's been there and back and there again. And He's coming back again and going there again. Hey, He'll never get lost. Matthew 4:19. Then He said to them,
follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Whoa, I would have said, let me think about this. Let me find out how much you pay first. You know, we would have so many questions. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How do you become a fisher of men? Follow him. He's the way that will show you. He'll show you how to fish for men. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him will my Father honor. How do you find the honor of God? Serving. Oh, yeah, but serving is not automatic. Serving is learned. Serving is giving yourself to it. And we need to be shown how to set tables, place the food on the table. You know, if you take in a restaurant job, you're taught these things. You're taught the right way, the wrong way. Well, that's a way that's foreign to us. So he teaches us his way. He teaches us his way. Follow him because he only has the truth. He is the truth. John 21:22. Jesus said to him, if I will that he, meaning Judas, remain till I come, what is that to you? In other words, it's not your business. You follow me. All right? He's the truth. He knows what is good to follow, what is not good to follow. He knows the difference of what is important and what is not important. He knows the difference of going after him or following some thought, some sentiment. Hey, he was part of the 12. They had feelings for him. Didn't always agree with him, but they had feelings for him. Matthew 19:21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. That is, get rid of your distractions. We all have distractions. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. We're easily distracted. If we're going to follow him, we've got to release what is a distraction. So I'm going over time, so you're going to have to eat quicker. oh dear. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That is, come out of your comfort zone. You see how that fits in? Deny yourself. Come out of your comfort zone and take up his cross daily and follow me. All right, just as Jesus had a cross, well, he's given us a cross to carry as well. Not as heavy as his, but it means we need to die to those things that hold us back. Move out of that comfort zone. We think we have life, safety. We think we have all that we want. Deny yourself. Come out of that comfort zone and follow me. We follow him because he leads to life. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Matthew 8:22. Okay? Spiritually dead can bury the physically dead. But I'm not calling you to death. You may think walking my way, serving me, is death.
I can't do what the others do. I have to be different, and I don't want to be different. I want to be like everyone else. I don't want to be a mismatch.
I remember one day,
I was working nights, night shift, graveyard shift. Had to get up early in the morning. I had to do something, and I just slipped into my loafers in a dark room. Got to where I was going, and I was standing at the counter, and I'm looking around. One black, one brown. Then I didn't know where to put my feet. You know, we don't like to be different. Now I see a lady in Nairobi all the time. She wears one red shoe and one green shoe. I don't know if that's a fad or not. But anyway, I don't like to be different, but most of us don't either. Let the dead bury the dead. He's drawing us to life, eternal life. Following Jesus is a fantastic journey beyond our comprehension. Right? You won't know until you get there how fantastic the ride was. Following Jesus is a life of no regrets. Oh, I wish I'd have done that when I was younger. I wish I wouldn't have been so stubborn. You know, if we're following Jesus, there's no regrets in following Him. Following Jesus is an everyday, amazing adventure of trust and faith. When Ruth and I went to Kenya as a family, we knew we were going to have some involvement with the Bible college that was there. Her father was the principal. And I was being asked to run a correspondence course. I have never done anything like that before in my life. I had to learn to run a gestetner. The stencils, you hold them up and daylight's going through them. I had to patch them with special glue. Blow on it, get them to dry, put them on. Then I was offered some printing presses, 3 of them, a job press, an offset, and whatever it was. Anyway, I didn't know how to run it. I had to teach myself how to run them. I went to a Baptist printing house, and I drilled them with questions, and they answered them, and I go back and try it. I started running the printing presses. Hey, now I could put that on my CV. Okay? That wasn't planned. We taught for 25 years at the Bible College. Then God put a spanner in the works. What do you say here? Wrench. Wrench into the works. And He said, right, I want you to start a home for children. Really? If he'd have said that to me about 20 years earlier, I'd have said, no way. I don't even like kids. I struggle to like my own kids. But God, little by little, was training me to like kids. He put me in a job of leadership, had to set up meetings, retreat meetings for all the missionaries of our group. And it got to the point where I started to like them. It got to the point where they started to dislike me and kept planning all year how to push me into the pool. For some strange reason, that was their idea of fun. Anyway, little by little, began to change. Then God said, start a home for children. It wasn't so hard then. It wasn't so hard. And now, we've been going for over 22 years. It's God. I can't say it's my work. Can't say it's my wife's work. It's His work that He called us to and prepared us for. Okay? Following Jesus every day is an amazing adventure of trust and faith. And when we follow Jesus, the impact and influence on others is that they will follow us as we follow Him. Yeah. That's kind of the words of Paul, wasn't it? All right, what am I saying in all this? Every one of us needs to follow Jesus.
No ifs, ands, and buts. No saying, oh, not out of my comfort zone. Your comfort zone might end at your house boundary. But you know, God won't take you right from there to another country. But he could take you to your neighbor beyond your comfort zone. He could take you to someone you work with beyond your comfort zone. He could have you talk to someone who is a total stranger in a shop while you're buying groceries. It's out of your comfort zone. And as you move out of your comfort zone, he expands the way that he's taking you, the revelation of that way. Follow him. There's no regrets. Follow him. He knows the way. Follow him because he is the truth, and I'm following after the truth. As we're following him, we get to the point where we no longer say, I'm following, but we say, show me your glory. Huh? That's far more. Step by step, he leads us. But we cannot be led unless we're willing to follow and take those first steps. They are the first steps of your eternal life.
Amen. Everybody that Jesus called had a price that they had to pay or chose not to pay. And we want to take a few minutes and pray for these folks. And I want to say thank you to Irv and Ruth for paying the price for the kids in Kenya. It hasn't 22 years, but I imagine there's been 22 years of, oh, it's wonderful, but oh, the price. And I'm sure that there's been a lot. But we also want to respect your need for some space, and we want to send you back to Kenya completely and totally healthy. So let's pray for them if we could today, but if you would stretch out your hands, and let's believe God to send them back revitalized. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray today, we thank you that these two, all those years ago, did choose to follow you, and they have paid the price. But yet, we see the fruit, God, of that yes and that following. And God, we pray for them that you would revitalize, restore, and give abundance of strength and grace, Father, for them as they return. Lord, that you would pour out upon them your spirit, that you would protect them, that you would guard their health, that you'd help them to stay well and healthy. Lord, we pray that anything that left that would try to cling to Ruth, God, that would be gone in Jesus' name. And Father, that you would just pour out your strength and health and grace and wisdom upon them. And Lord, we want to pray your blessing over that home and all of the people that they represent that are there even now ministering in their absence to all of those kids, Lord. And we pray for the children. We pray that you would give favor, great favor to all the ministries of Rahema, Lord, that in that country, God, that you would go before them and that you would cover and bless and meet every financial need as well, Father. Meet the needs, God, that the kids can have what they need, that the young people can have what they need. Father, that you would do it. And we thank you that you love these kids and you are providing and blessing them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We are going to move into fellowship mode in just a few minutes. And if you can help, we probably need a few, maybe one or two more round tables out, and we're going to set up food. But if you're here today and you have a need for prayer, please, please, please come. We'd like to pray and believe God with you to heal your body, to touch your heart, to bring deliverance, whatever you need. We believe that God can do that. Father, we thank you for our time together today. Bless our food, bless our fellowship. Thank you for providing in Jesus' name.